All right. Good morning, everyone. So we're just going to have a it's not really anything for me to add after Miriam's beautiful, beautiful talk. But I'll just share with you a few ideas. First of all, again, Miriam is exceptionally humble. I'll wait till she comes back. But I just want to share with you, if you look on page 13, no, I'm sorry, not 13, but you look on page 10. Oh, okay, page 10. Or on the book, if you're in the larger booklet. Okay, so if you're in the standalone booklet, it's the first page. If you're in the trip booklet, it's page 10. So as Miriam mentioned, actually from Parshas Vayichi, and again, I wanna be able to devote the bulk of our time here to Tefillah, and so I'm just going to share with you a very short idea. But in Parshas Vayichi, as Miriam mentioned, so if you look at the underlined psukim, after Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and tells Yosef the amazing news that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be Kiruvein v'chishimon Yuli, that they're going to be like Shvatim, they're going to be like tribes, which of course is very unique, because Ephraim and Menashe were the grandsons of Yaakov Avinu, and yet they were going to be reckoned as tribes, as actual Shvatim. So then right afterwards, Yaakov Avinu says the pasuk that Miriam mentioned before, Va'ani bevoi mipadon meisa alai Rachel Beretz Kinah, Bederach bo dekivrasa aris tefoa afrasa, Vekberasha Bederach Efrat, hi beis lochem. And of course, again, as Yaakov Avinu, Rashi explains that Yaakov Avinu was trying to be preemptive in addressing Yosef's concerns. Because as Miriam mentioned so beautifully, Yaakov Avinu was asking of his son a very big thing. Take me to Canaan. Remember, Yosef was a celebrity in Egypt. So the ability, so taking the body of the viceroy and not interring it on Egyptian soil and taking it to Eretz Canaan was a huge ask, a huge request. And so Yaakov Avinu, it's interesting, according to Rashi, you know, sometimes when you have certain feelings of guilt about something, you project those feelings onto others. Yosef did not have any questions on his father for one simple reason. Why not? Because children used to respect their parents. Right? My daughter's here, so you're listening, Shefa, right? Meaning, it used to be understand that When a parent said something, a child didn't question that. Yosef didn't question his father's request. Yaakov Avinu asks to be buried in Canaan. He asks to be buried in Maaseh Machpelah. So of course, if that's what my father wants, then of course that's what I'm going to do. But you understand, Yaakov Avinu has a guilty conscience. Yaakov Avinu feels bad. I buried Rachel in the middle of nowhere. Meaning, you think Kever Rachel, see, now Kever Rachel is in the middle of somewhere, right? You drive out of Yerushalayim, we're coming through Talpiot, you come right to Beit Lechem, especially now there's this whole structure around it. But understand, when Yaakov Avinu buried her here, it was in the middle of nowhere. It was literally by the side of the road. And so Yaakov Avinu, according to Rashi, anticipates this question. How can you ask me to bury you in Maaseh Machpelah when you buried my mother by the side of the road? So Rashi quotes, as Miriam said, I'm just going to do it quickly, because Miriam said it. So Rashi says in number 3, and I'll just tell you this outside. Why? Because, oh, actually, I'll tell it to you inside. Look at Rashi in the third line in number 3. Vekberasham v'loho lichtio afilu lebeis lochem lachnisa laretz v'yadati sheyesh b'libeich alai. I know that you're upset at me. Aval dolecha sha'apia dibor kivartio sham shetela ezra lebonah kishiyigla osam nevudzoran v'yu ovrin derech sham. Remember again when we were exiled. This is talking about the exile after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Nevudzoran, who was known as he was the chief butcher. He was one of the most brutal. We have a kinnah devoted to Nevuzaran. Nevuzaran used to take children and brutally slaughter them in front of their parents. And as we were being led out from Eretz Yisrael into Babylonian exile that was to last for 70 years, we're led exactly along this road. And what happens? Yatzasa Rachel Akivra Ubocha Umevakeshas Aleim Rachamim. Rachel Yiminu comes out and she goes in and she davens for us. And so Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, you have to understand, I didn't bury your mother in the middle of nowhere. I buried your mother in the middle of somewhere, of perhaps the point where she's going to be most needed. Because when we were led out of the land of Israel by our Babylonian oppressors, we were not led out passing Maaseh Machpelah. We were not led out passing the Kotel. We were not led out passing Shechem, Kever Yosef, or all the other incredible places we've seen. We weren't led out passing Tzfat by the grave of all the great tzaddikim. We weren't led out by any of those places. We were led out on this derech. So Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, that place that to you looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, is exactly where Rachel Imenu needs to be. You know, there's a very important sort, as Miriam said, Miriam mentioned, and as you know, you could also sign up for her new organization, Women of the Kitchen, and she's accepting memberships now. But you know that sometimes, I'll just tell you this, because this is the place, you know, as you've seen, I feel a little bit out of place, but you know, this is the trip that speaks to the strength of Jewish women. And again, I'm really just here as a passenger. That, you know, and this is the parsha. Because remember, Sefer Shmos begins Shibud Mitzrayim, and the Gemara says, "Bizchus nashim tzidkaniyos nigalu avosinim Mitzrayim." It was in the merit of righteous women that our forefathers were redeemed from exile in Egypt. And you know, it wasn't just Egypt. If you look at every single major turning point in Jewish history, there were always Jewish women. Sometimes they played a public role, sometimes they played a more private role, but there is no geula that happens without Jewish women. But here's the amazing part, is that sometimes life doesn't call on you for perpetual action. Sometimes life only calls upon you for momentary action. What do I mean by that? If we fast forward a little bit to Esther Hamalka. So remember again, Esther, a young Jewish woman who is literally drafted into a life that she did not choose. I often say, I tell my wife this all the time, to me Purim is a very difficult Yom Tov. For one reason, you know, we finish the Megillah and everybody's happy. Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzala V'Samecha, it's wonderful. And everybody is happy except for one person. And who is that? The heroine of the story, Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka is married to a man she did not want to be with, living a life she did not want to live. And especially if you understand the narrative, as Chazal bringing down the Gemara Maseches Megillah, that she was married to Mordechai. Every single day she sees the man with whom she wants to spend her life, with whom she wanted to build a family, but yet that was deprived of her. But what gave her the strength? Because in that moment when Mordechai tells her that you have to go to Achashverosh, right? And what is Esther's first response? When she is told that she has to go to Achashverosh and supplicate on behalf of the Jewish people, what's her response? What's her response? Her response is no. Her response, now she doesn't say no. She says, everyone knows that if you go to the king without permission, you're going to die. And what does Mordechai say? Mordechai says, if you are quiet now, revach v'atzava yamol yudim makom acher. God doesn't need us. God gives us the opportunity, gives us the privilege to go ahead and partner with him to bring about salvation, but he doesn't need us. If I choose not to do my job, someone else will do my job for me. Umi odeya, I skip part of the pasuk, if you don't act now, you'll be lost into the sands of oblivion. Umi odeya, im la'is kazos higat l'malchus. Maybe this is your moment. And says the Malbim on that pasuk, that sometimes the Ribono Shel Olam puts us in this world to accomplish one thing at one moment. There are some people that accomplish a lot of things over a lifetime, but there are some people who are just born into this world to do one thing at one moment. And says the Malbim, you know what the scary thing is? If you miss your moment, if you miss your moment, you can miss out on an entire lifetime of meaning. Mordechai says to Esther, my dear beloved wife, my beloved wife, this is your moment. And if you don't take it, if you don't take it, you deny meaning not only to your own life, but to the lives of all those who came before you. Yaakov Avinu says to his beloved son Yosef, I didn't bury your mother in the middle of nowhere. It looks in the middle of nowhere right now, but she's going to have her moment. I need her there for that one moment when her children are being led out of Eretz Yisrael into Babylonian captivity exile. That's her moment. That's the moment where I need her most. And for Rachel Imenu, her primary moment doesn't even come during her lifetime. Her primary moment comes after her death when she comes out of her kever, as Miriam said before so beautifully, and supplicates on behalf of her children. But there's another bookend of the story, and this is very important. If you look at number 4, and I'm just going to do it quickly. I apologize that I'm not doing these sources justice now. I want to take time. So take
I'm
thank
flexible.
You. Yeah. until I get. It's all good until I get left in Beit Lechem, right? So look at number 4. Rav Schwab says something so beautifully, because, you know, we all know, and I just want to tell you that, you know, Baruch Hashem, I could say just, I have a very, I'm not a Jewish woman, obviously, but Rachel Imenu is my mother. And every single time I come to this place, I can't tell you just the wave of serenity. It's like Miriam said, you know, when you come home, there are three places you have to go. You have to come to Kever Rachel. You have to go to Hebron, because when you're away from home a long time, you don't go out to Cafe Rimon first. When you're away from home for a long time, the first thing you do is you come home and you say hello to your parents. And some of us have been away for a long time, because, you know, sometimes being away from home is not just a din in geography. Sometimes we're also away from home on a ruchni perspective as well. When we come back to this place, you feel its embrace, you feel its love. And the truth is, we only have the ability to feel its love because of someone like Miriam. I waited till you came back. Because of someone like Miriam. I had the schus to be here. I remember it was about 14, 15 years ago. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I got a call from Miriam saying, are you by any chance in Eretz Yisrael? I said, Ashkacha Pratis, yes. She said, you have to come to Kever Rachel because something very special is happening. So when you walk into Kever Rachel now, you know, when you walk in, you see that big black and white sign that says Kever Rachel. And in all the old pictures, that sign is always there. That sign went missing for how many years?
15 years.
So it went missing for a long time. And I happened to have the schus to be here in Eretz Yisrael when they found the sign. And they installed the sign. And I had the schus to be here for the installation. And although it seems like, what's the big deal? It's just the sign. It's not the sign. You know how when you go ahead and you come off into a Jewish home, you know, people have something from the olive wood factory, or now again, maybe that's passé, you know, maybe whatever, something silver or something glass, Mishpachat Schwartz or Mishpachat this or Mishpachat that. So Rachel Imenu deserves a little shelet as well. She deserves a little sign on her home saying, My children, just so you should know, you haven't reached the wrong address. Just want you to know that you're home. You come and you see that sign. And the truth is, although this is a place where sometimes we feel the pain and the difficulties, the interesting conflicting dialectic of the Jewish people is that we could feel pain and serenity at the same time. We could feel embraced and we could feel loved and we could feel so good while having a heavy heart with all the difficulties. So back to this. So now we all know about that Rashi, as Miriam quoted before, that this is the place where the Jews went out of Eretz Yisrael. But there's another very important point that is often overlooked. Rav Schwab points out over here in number 4, and I'll just tell you this outside. Rav Schwab says that when Yaakov Avinu makes Ephraim and Menashe, like the Shvatim, you know what else he was doing? There's something very important. We speak about Geula, we speak about redemption, and we speak about Mashiach. But you know, amazingly enough, when we speak about Mashiach, we often only speak about Mashiach ben David. Because that's the Mashiach ultimately who heralds in ultimate Geula. But there's another Mashiach. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef. And that Mashiach ben Yosef comes from the tribe of Ephraim. That Mashiach ben Yosef comes from Yosef. That Mashiach ben Yosef comes from Rachel Imenu. We all think that it's only Leah who is the mother of Mashiach, but it's not true. Rachel Imenu is the mother of Mashiach as well. And look at the end of number 4, the left-hand side paragraph. Paragraph D. So look what he writes. He says, "Va'ani va'omer va'ani bevoi mipadan meisalei Rachel ba'ol kivasaris lavo efras vekbarasham b'derech efrat hi beislachem shenikburu Rachel ala derech al piadibor." Last few lines of paragraph D. Lios leEzra lebaneha ayide haMashiach sheyamo mitzatzeh kodem ba'om lebeislachem makom avi Yishai David Mashiach Hashem. So says Rav Schwab, and he quotes the Medrash, something so amazing. Everyone knows this path as the path in which we leave Eretz Yisrael. But there's another very important piece of information. This is also the same path in which we come back to Eretz Yisrael. Where we are sitting right now, we are sitting on the path of Geula. We are sitting on the path of Mashiach. It begins here in Kever Rachel, because this is the place of Mashiach ben Yosef. And it goes on to Beit Lechem, which is the birthplace of David HaMelech, Mashiach ben David. So this path, this road, who knows, even this room that we're sitting in right now, you know how many tears were shed on these bricks, on this road, on this dirt beneath us? Those are the tears of our ancestors thousands of years ago when they left this land. But you know how many tears are going to be shed on this path as well? But not going that way, going that way. And they're not going to be tears of sadness, but they're going to be tears of joy. They're going to be tears of return. because we leave passing Rachel Imenu, and we come home passing Rachel Imenu. Nothing happens without our mother. Nothing happens without Rachel. So you shouldn't just look at this place as the place where Rachel Imenu came to say goodbye to her children. But if you know, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcher says that if you listen closely enough, you could hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, from Har Sinai. If you listen close enough, you could still hear the Ten Commandments being given on Mount Sinai. Interestingly enough, we know that scientifically sound breaks down into smaller and smaller units as it goes on. So the Rebbe says, if you listen carefully, you could go ahead and you could hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Dibros. You just have to be tuned into the right frequency. So the Rebbe says, sometimes, you know, the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting on AM, and I'm on FM. That's not an exact quote from him, but I'm ad-libbing a little bit. You got to be tuned into the right frequency. If you're tuned into the right frequency in this place, you could hear the tears 3,000 years ago of our ancestors leaving, but I'm telling you, you could hear the footsteps of Mashiach as well. You could feel the joy of Geula. You could feel the joy of redemption. You could feel Mashiach ben Yosef. You could feel Mashiach ben David. And all of it happens in this very place. And I'll conclude with one last piece. The Medrash in number 5 says something quite beautiful. The Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, if you look at the last few lines, he says, "V'ki bederech mesa." The last few lines in number 5, "Ki bederech mesa ba'od kivras eretz la'vayefrasa, ki haya hakayitz gadol va'avaka derech haysi yachal kovdo bekivra." Yaakov Avinu, according to the Medrash, says to Yosef, "You know, Yosef, I wanted to bury your mother at Maras HaMachpela. That's where she belongs." According to the Medrash doesn't subscribe to Rashi's view. Yaakov Avinu feels bad. "I can't believe I buried her here. I should have had the strength to take her to Maras HaMachpela. Lefichach, but I couldn't do it. It was hot. It was hot." And you know, the Ramban brings down that Rachel Imenu died in childbirth. So the Ramban actually brings down on a very technical level that because there was an incredible loss of blood, it would have also been a terrible compromise to the dignity of her body to wait for burial. So I had to bury her there. Ulefichach vekbera sham bederech Efrat hi beis lachem. Al im haderech kevartia shiyu bana olim la'aretz. But look what he writes. Ve'omdin al kvurasa v'zochrin osa. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, "Promise me." Listen to how stern these words are. "Promise me that you won't forget your mother." You see, no one forgets Avram and Sarah. And no one forgets Yitzchak and Rivka. And no one forgets Yaakov and Leah. You know why? Because they're all together. But Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, "Promise me that you won't forget your mother." And Rav Hirsch says, and again, I'm not going to go through it because of time, but Rav Hirsch says at the end of number 6, skip to paragraph D. He writes, "When the children of Israel in later times visited the graves of their ancestors, they would find Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, but Rachel, Yosef's mother, was not granted, even in death, to receive her place in the common resting place of the ancestors of the nation." You know, Rachel Imenu is always the woman, or is the woman, for whom life never went according to plan. She fell in love with a wonderful man, and he loved her more than anything. And on that day, they were supposed to be married. So she gave her husband, in an incredible act of vatranas, an incredible act of yielding to the other, to her sister. And you know, I was going to talk about being married to two women, but it's probably not a good idea for me to get into this topic. It was an exceptionally difficult life for Rachel Imenu. Nothing ever went according to plan for her. She couldn't get married when she wanted to. She couldn't have children when she wanted to. You know, the Medrash brings down that, you know, Leah and Rachel do ultimately have it out. Right? When do they have it out? Excellent. By the Dudaim. Right? You remember that strange episode in Bereishis where Reuven comes? Reuven comes back with the Dudaim. Comes back, we translate as mandrakes, as flowers, whether it was some type of fertility treatment, whatever it was. She comes back with mandrakes. And Rachel and Leah have like this fight. Rachel asks her for flowers. And what does Leah say? "Hama'at kachtech es yishech. It's not enough. You've taken my husband. You've taken my husband. Now you want my flowers also?" And you know, the Medrash says that Rachel says to Leah, "Excuse me? I've taken your husband. I gave you my husband. And Leah, you know, all of those children you were supposed to have, guess what? Or excuse me, all those children you had, those were supposed to be mine. Had you never married my husband, I would have been the mother of the Shvatim. Had you never married my husband, I would have been blessed with this bracha. Rachel Imenu never has anything go according to plan. She's the woman with the most wonderful vision, and nothing ever falls in line. Yet, she maintains perseverance. Yet, she maintains strength. Yet, she never yields. So, Hirsch writes over here, so too in her death. But Rachel, Yosef's mother, was not granted, even in death, to receive her place in the common resting place of the ancestors of the nation. And only two tribes call her their mother. So it would be just the wife of his heart, whom he had thought of as the real mother of his future people, who might vanish from the hearts of the nation. Says Rav Hirsch, Yaakov Avinu is scared that people are going to forget Rachel. Thus, that is why it was deep in the desire of his heart to raise Joseph, Rachel's firstborn, to be the firstborn of his national tribes, by making his sons into two tribes, to grant him the right to the firstborn to the whole portion. You hear what Rav Hirsch says? This is something absolutely amazing. Rav Hirsch explains, do you know why Yaakov makes Ephraim and Menasheh into tribes? To ensure that Rachel would not be forgotten. When Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed, all he can think about is Rachel. When Yaakov Avinu is in his final moments in this world, all he can think about is his Eshes Ne'urim. All he can think about is the love of his life, who had left this world so many years before. He says, Yosef, do you want to know what my parting wish for you is? Don't forget your mother. And make sure that your children don't forget your mother. And when we come to a place like this today, you see, we often focus on what Rachel Imenu could do for us. But there's another important piece. We came here to do something for Rachel Imenu as well. Because we come here to say to Rachel Imenu, Mama Rachel, we have not forgotten you. You're buried a little bit off the beaten track. You're encased in high concrete walls. But nothing could keep us away from you. How could we ever forget you? You are the Akeres Habayis. You are the cornerstone of our people. You are the cornerstone. You are the maternal cornerstone of who we are. You are the one who escorted us out. You are the one who will escort us back in. And we can never forget you from our minds. We can never forget you from our hearts. We can never forget you from our collective souls. So we should just, as we go into Davin, we should just recognize the incredible privilege we have to be here. The incredible privilege that we have to be able to come and daven in this place. That we come to daven not just for ourselves, that we come to daven for others. You know, all of us come in with names of kolim, all of us come in with names of people who need a refuah, people who need all different various brachos in life. But I would urge you, don't just daven for the people you know. Because for every person you know, there are 15 others, hundreds of others that you don't. But here's the amazing thing. Even the ones you don't know, Rachel Imenu knows. And so all we say is, Rachel Imenu, be a Melitza Yosha, be an advocate on high for all of your children. We come here representing ourselves and representing others, but you know us all. You know our tzaras more than anyone else. And you be the one who comes before the Kisei HaKavod and supplicates on our behalf. But most of all, what we have to daven for Rachel Imenu is that Amir Hashem, the day should come where we walk in the opposite direction that we took thousands of years ago. Let's daven that Rachel Imenu should help us move the hand of the Ribono Shel Olam to finally pass this grave, not with tears of sadness, but with tears of joy, with the tears of Mashiach ben Yosef, with the tears of Mashiach ben David Meherah
b'Yamim. I want to be sure that you don't forget Rachel Imenu. So every Shabbat,